Welcome to the Michael Yu Podcast. We have a very special guest today, Amber Ardan, Oakwind Realty's agent manager. Hello, Amber.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Good.
Great. Well, I'm so happy and grateful to have you on the pod.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. It always feels a little bit awkward being on a podcast. You look a little nervous. It's okay. We can stretch a little bit. So, Amber and I are in an empty office in our downtown Oakwind office on 1286 Homer. And there are no chairs. So, we're sitting on the floor and we're doing it guerrilla style.
Yeah, we've got pillows. So it's okay.
Yeah, we have pillows. The reason is that my the podcast mics have, for some unknown reason, broken. So instead of not doing an episode this week, we're going to go forward into the...
supporting Apple.
Yeah. That's right. So, Amber, I'd love to hear maybe just a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your story.
My story.
Yeah, what's your story?
So, born and raised in East Van. I've got two older siblings, but they're both 8 and 9 years older than me, so we're quite separated in age. So growing up, I was kind of more like an only child, even though like I had them around, but by the time I was in school and stuff, they were already kind of moved out of the house and kind of set up with their life. So
yeah,
I was in French immersion from kindergarten through grade 12. I went to UVic for biological anthropology.
For what?
Biological anthropology, okay. Studying human bones and stuff, but it got a little too eerie when we started actually studying like human remains. I didn't have a stomach for it. So afterwards, I ended up going to BCIT for interior architecture.
Okay.
I did that for a little while and then realized I didn't know what I wanted in life, so I wasn't ready to commit to like a whole lifetime of education for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's kind of how I found Oakwind. Just in between that, I was like, I don't know what I want in life. Like,
yeah.
I need a new career or something to like kind of focus my efforts in. And before, like after university, I was working in retail, and in retail you kind of plateau at a certain point. There's not much more you can learn. Like, sure, you can like improve your sales tactics or whatever, but in terms of like growth and mental development, there's not much education. So I needed something that was going to challenge me, was actually like something that was, or I needed to be somewhere that was going to provide me that long-term education or just like challenge, which I didn't get before. So magically found Oakwind.
Right.
On Craigslist.
Yeah, that's awesome. So it's really interesting that you hadn't, like, I always like to understand, and we talked about this a few times, about people's origin stories and just, you know, where they come from and all their kind of, their journey that they've taken. You know, obviously being in a family of three, so, and being kind of the baby, how was that like?
I'm definitely the baby. Yeah. It's good because my siblings were kind of out of the house. Like, I think growing up, not to bash my siblings,
okay,
but like, I'm gonna say I'm the golden child.
Oh. Just we got two like golden child sitting on the floor. We should be sitting on thrones.
Just my siblings kind of were, obviously my mom was pretty young when she had both of them, and she learned what she did, like raising them as children and having their own trials and stuff like that. So with me, I was a pretty easygoing kid. It was always just kind of like, go play with your siblings. Like, it was pretty low maintenance and kind of just pretty responsible. My stepdad, Loki, him and I didn't have like the best relationship. He never actually wanted children, and then he like fell in love with my mom, and it was like this cute romantic story.
Right.
So he ended up marrying my mother, but he was always very scientific and very like kind of cold. But now that my sister has children of her own and he's actually a grandfather, his demeanor has totally changed.
Oh,
so
yeah,
we actually have a better relationship now that I'm a bit older than we did when I was a kid. But I think that's just because he was, I don't know, learning to be a dad too. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
from those roots.
You talked about some of those difficulties. So was it just a problem with connection, or was it a problem with?
Not necessarily. I think we just are, it's funny, even though we've like been around each other absolutely forever, we are so different. Like, I don't think I keep any attributes from him at all. We're like so different people that like our, I think just our styles of thinking and our creativity are just so different. That it's not, we never really butted heads. It was just more that like we just didn't really understand each other's thought processes or ways behind things. So my mom is definitely a bit more creative. My dad's super, super scientific. Like, he has, I don't know, like a doctorate in astrophysics or something like that.
Right. From,
like,
McGill. He's an engineering mind.
Yes, definitely. So it's a little bit colder, but my mom's very creative and like whimsical. She was in fashion design for a really long time. Mm. So I kind of got that creative side from her.
Right.
I guess like the trials, probably just having like my siblings out of the house. They didn't really know.
Yeah. were your siblings being so much older, were they a big part of your life, or were they doing their own thing?
They were kind of doing their own thing. So like my sister was being a rebellious teenager, so she was kind of like in and out, just doing her own thing,
yeah,
traveling the world, teaching like figure skating in Taipei just because right. She could, because why not? I think it impacted me a little bit not having them around, but there's not much we can do when you're that like 10 years difference, right?
So. Well, it's really interesting, you know, the whole dynamic of family and, you know, where you kind of come from, mm-hmm. especially, you know, when you, because it's really interesting because your story is a bit, I want to say a bit, but I have a little sister, her name is Liz. I got to get her on the pod. <one day. laughs> And she works at Open as well. She's our head convincer. And Amber obviously knows her. She's like 10 years younger than me, so we have like a big gap. But I was actually very involved in, in her life, So it's kind of interesting. So, in some cases, when you have older siblings, they're not really siblings; they're kind of like parents.
Yeah, right? A little bit. They're still like kind of an authority figure.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they're not parents.
I'm at a weird stage now because I'm old enough that like we're both adults and we have to treat each other that way. But my sister and I have the weirdest relationship, and we still kind of act like stupid 10-year-olds that kind of like fight.
Oh yeah.
Like she pulled my hair at a Thanksgiving just because it was funny or something.
Right.
I don't even know, but it was just like all of those things that we didn't do as kids are kind of coming back up. As
yeah.
And we're like, we're too old for this,
right?
But like, we'll just get it out, whatever.
Yeah, it's so funny because it's this weird thing that happens, you know, especially as you get older and as you move. So Amber, for those of you that don't know, she's very young. She's just like in her early 20s. Yeah. So because we don't have the power of picture video, and we're gonna start doing video with this pod, you know, pretty soon. if it was funny because if you're in this room with us right now, it's pretty hilarious. Like
Michael's not wearing shoes.
No.
And we're sitting on the floor in an empty office.
That's right. We're doing it guerrilla style. So, and we are going to have a video with these pods. And my friend, his name's Dion. He's probably listening to this pod. Mm-hmm. Is a sound engineer. So he owns this kind of AV thing. So I was actually thinking about the best place to do the pod. And I think I figured it out. But that being said, we still wanted to have an episode this week, so it's important. And we're gonna get on to more business. I want to do it. I've asked you for several months ago. But the thing is I feel like, you know, you make it, and this is a bit different. You know, this is maybe a philosophical thing, but you make a commitment, and when you make a commitment, that's your commitment, right?
Yeah,
and
for
so,
sure.
You know, I know the mics are broken, but I have a phone, and the phone has a recording device, so let's do this damn thing, right? Let's like MacGyver it. So I'm excited about that. So you know what we were talking about is like kind of the family structure.
Yeah,
right?
So with my dad, for example, just because he's very scientific, my mom was super creative, my siblings were kind of like out of the house, they were always around, like I love them dearly, like I consider them like some of the closest people to me, and I know some people aren't as lucky to have siblings that are super close. There's a lot of people that I know who are very separated from their siblings for whatever reasons. But I think like just that structure while I was growing up made me super independent really quickly and super responsible. I've like had a couple like quarter life crises, I'll say, where I'm like, am I wasting my youth? Like I'm too responsible for my age. I'm not fun anymore, but I think it's still fun.
Yeah.
Okay, I turned around a little bit.
Yeah. It's you know, I think it's good to be reflective, you know, and to really be reflective on, you know, different stages of life and where things are current and where things are headed, right? And so we can kind of talk a little bit of that. So, like, looking at the past a bit. So, Amber, when did you get started at Oakwin?
Oh, February of 2016.
Woo! It's been 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Here at the company. Wow. Yeah. Okay. So, Amber's been...
I think you guys only opened in like September of 2015 or whatever.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that long. Like,
That's right.
The A team for a while.
Yeah.
Actually, Amanda, myself, and Arlene.
Right. Yeah. So you're, I think Amber was our, so after Ashley, the second hire was Amanda, Ace, who's been on the pod, and then our third hire was Amber. So, well, I was talking to another young, like this is, you know, Maddie Madison,
yes.
Corday. So in a long episode, like maybe 9 months ago, I had an episode of the podcast with Madison Corday, and we talked about this millennial, like, stigma,
yeah,
you know, and you know, obviously Amber's a child of the 90s, born in the 90s, so she is in that millennial kind of age category. But something about Amber that I, you know, love and respect is one, how like responsible and how high integrity she is, very truthful she is. And second is, you know, is that, you know, she kind of bucks that trend a lot, you know. So what's the stigma about millennials?
I think the trouble with millennials is everyone kind of gives it a bad rap, saying that, you know, we're a little entitled a little bit.
Right.
But I think just the way the world's going with social media and technology and everything, that, you know, we're only progressing in one manner, and that's forward. And your younger demographic is going to eventually be leading your country, right?
Right.
So you need to have people who are kind of ready to face those developments and those changes, and who are ready to adapt to that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people who have been in the business a really, really long time are kind of set in their ways because they learned how to do something one way and they've stuck with that their entire life. It
right.
worked for them, which is not a problem. You've developed your business that way. But I think to move forward and to grow like alongside and be competitive in an industry,
right.
you have to constantly be adapting and changing. And I think we're lucky as millennials, we're not set in our ways yet.
Yeah.
We're very impressionable, but we're also very forward thinking. And
mm-hmm.
I think we might have more of an ability to like kind of think outside the box and kind of like find ways around things or whatever,
yeah.
different solutions that my parents probably wouldn't think of or something like that.
You know, I agree with you 100%. I feel
we're
like
hustlers.
Hmm?
We're hustlers.
Yeah. I feel that, you know, it just depends on, there's kind of a stereotype, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's your individual experience, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, I'm a Chinese guy, so there's Chinese stereotypes,
yeah,
and a lot of
sure.
them are true, most of them, actually, all of them are. I was kidding, but a lot of them are true, but then, you know, individually,
yeah.
you buck some of those things,
mm-hmm.
right? And yeah, so it's kind of interesting to,
yeah.
to think about that, right?
I think it all comes down to like life lessons as well. I mean, like, when I was in French immersion, we had one professor named Mr. Grenier, and he was actually like the head of the French department for Vancouver for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He single-handedly, I don't know how I can attribute this just to him, but for some reason I think he's this only person who really forced me to be very like, to take initiative and
okay.
to problem solve.
Right.
It's something I learned really quickly in school, and I mean, he was a really hard teacher. Everyone kind of like gave him a bad rap for it, but at the end when I graduated, I was like, oh, you did me a favor. Like,
yeah.
I see you now, the lesson.
Well, right, it's like preparing you for
yeah,
the future.
And it's something
yeah.
like I've noticed, not only here, but like at other offices or even like at university, that my ability to kind of, I mean, I'm definitely introverted, I'll say that. I'm kind of a little hybrid, but
mm-hmm.
if I have to be extroverted, I will. But kind of taking charge of a situation, or, you know, if I don't know the answer, I have zero problem taking my time to figure it out before I have to, like, freak out and ask somebody else
mm-hmm.
or say I just don't know and I can't help somebody. Like, it's almost, like, I don't know if I could get by if I would just be like, I don't know.
Right.
Like, I like to challenge myself and, like, not know. It's the only way you learn and you grow and, like, you don't spend the time to figure it out, then you're
mm-hmm.
kind of like enabling yourself not to grow a
yeah.
little bit. You're kind of stunting that path a little bit. Like, anyways.
Yeah, for sure. I think when you, it's, so I was reading a book while I was away, and it talks about, like Amber talked about responsibility, and, you know, there's challenges, which are like a stimulus,
mm-hmm.
right? And then there's your response to those challenges. And initially, some of the responses, like, that you would have,
yeah.
Is to like, to freak out
mm-hmm.
or to like be super discouraged. I can't
yeah.
do this. But then what a response-able person does. Responsible, so breaking it down, response-able person does. Whoa, truth bomb here. Is that they have a stimulus, and once there's a stimulus, they have an ability to be able to use a variety of different thoughts and critical thinking skills before making a response. Mm-hmm. So stimulus, challenge, issue, problem, gap of time to critically think, and then respond. You know, and I feel like Amber is definitely that way.
And I think, like, that being said, thank you, but I can probably say that's, it's a skill I don't think I would have learned if I was not in French immersion. Ooh. I actually
thank you,
learned,
Mr. Grenier.
I learned French first. So coming into kindergarten, like, I was reading and writing in French before English. So I kind of actually, by the time I was in like grade 3, I was actually struggling with both because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I actually really sucked at reading and writing for a really long time until I kind of figured it out. But with French immersion, something they do, they force you from a really young age to start writing speeches, and you have to present them every single year in front of pretty much all the French immersion students in your school.
Okay.
Like, I went to a really big school, so there's like 300 of them or something like that at one point, because you're doing it in front of all these grades. But you have to stand up and literally present this whole 5-minute presentation in French in front of everybody from like the age of like 8. So you get really comfortable in front of people and talking and presenting and kind of taking charge, even if you're in an uncomfortable situation.
Oh, that's so good. That.
And I think it really, really forced me to be a bit more proactive and take initiative and just kind of my methodology behind it is like, if I don't do it now, like, I'm eventually going to do it. So I may as well just bite the bullet and do it now and not make excuses along the way for a reason why I can't. Just figure it out. May as well do it now because won't do it.
Yeah, that is so true, and that kind of attitude has served you well here and will serve you well in the future, Amber. So Amber's nickname is Ambo. I was going to call her Ambo.
For reference, I do not like the nickname Ambo.
Well, it sounds like Rambo.
Like, makes you sound so aggressive.
Well, you came up with it because you look like Sylvester Stallone.
No? Oh,
she looks nothing like Sylvester Stallone. She's much, much better looking than Sylvester Stallone.
Thank you.
I don't know, have you watched Rambo, First Blood?
Yeah, I have.
It was actually filmed in Hope, BC.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when you go to Hope, BC, they actually like have his pictures everywhere. And yeah, you're out for revenge.
I think I'm just stuck, so Rambo it is, whatever.
You know, it's good that, so I'm so glad that you actually were able to take things from your school education and and apply them in your adult life, right? Like, I almost found the opposite. Like, the things that I learned in school, it's like what I don't want. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, like, I was just so shy and so introverted that the only thing that actually like served me now as an adult was being uncomfortable.
Being able to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, like someone telling me like, you don't have a choice, you have to do this. I'm like, fine, I guess I should learn how to do it.
It
would repeat every year, so.
I just had to
do it. I don't know, get over it.
That's great. So let's talk about your journey through Oakland. So, you know, obviously,
started from the bottom.
Oh, there's a Drake song like that. We can sing it together.
That's okay.
Well, I'll sing it then. I love that song, by the way. Started from the bottom, now we're here. Yeah. So,
on the floor.
Yeah. So please share like how you started at Oakland.
I was going to BCIT at the time for interior architecture, and I was working as an assistant manager of a jewelry store, and I absolutely loved it. I loved my manager, I loved my team, I loved what I got to do every day. I was standing up, I was talking to people, it was super dynamic. It was kind of challenging at times. I mean, retail is not easy. People think it's kind of an entry-level job, and it kind of is. You don't necessarily need experience. You definitely learn that along the way, but it's definitely not easy. at a certain point, it was just like, I can't learn anymore, and I'm too young to like stop. So I was like just browsing through Craigslist, and I saw this ad about like, what type of TV nerd would you be? I'm like, that's a joke. But then I opened it, and I was reading, I was like, oh, for shits and giggles, like I'll just apply, and then I'll just send in my resume. And then It's funny, I think I had the longest hiring process of any employee.
Okay.
Ashley, our old office manager, she brought me in for an initial interview. It went really well. And then she wanted me to come back and meet Arlene, one of our other co-owners. And she, it also went really well. Arlene was super hard with me. She was asking me all these really tough questions. And she's like, I see you've been with like all these different companies. Like, are you a floater? Do you just bounce around? Like, actually, the company I work for is just one company that owns all these individual companies. So I've been with the same company for 3 or 4 years, just bouncing around and helping out different locations. So I met with Arlene, and then I had a meeting with you, if you asked me my life story. And I met with Morgan, and then Ashley brought me in again for like technically like my fourth interview, because I think I met Morgan on the same day as you, but we did a practical interview where she gave me a laptop, hooked me up to a TV, and gave me a list of things to do, and just said, I'm going to sit here and watch you do them. And I was literally, for lack of better words, shitting my pants. I was sitting there like, I didn't even know what conveyance was. I was like, what is a feature sheet? I have no idea what any of this is.
Yeah.
But I just sat there and I plugged away at it, but she had the brand new version of Windows that I'd never seen before, where it has like little tiles on the screen. And she asked me to print something, and I couldn't find the print button. I started freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, I'm not getting this job. I can't find the print button. I was like freaking out about it. And then afterwards, that went super well, I think, considering, you know, some other people that have applied have like disabled some stuff and like kind of caused some issues later on.
Yeah.
But I think like after that, it was a month until you guys called me back and then hired me.
Right.
But on the exact same day, I got a job offer like 10 minutes before Arlene called me.
And really?
I called my mom. I was like, what do I do? But yeah, something about this place.
Yeah?
Just had a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
A gut feeling.
Was it a gut feeling? So what was the other...
The other one was a marketing position. It was actually a company that is... So I'm also... American.
Mm-hmm.
My mom's side of the family is all American, so I'm able to kind of work both in the US and Canada. So this other company was, I think it's just over North America or whatever, so I was applying for a position that was more, I can't quite remember exactly what it was because it was a while ago, but it was kind of handling campaigns and stuff for their business, but internationally. So I may have had the chance to travel, I don't know, that was kind of one of the perks. But I was like, well, this could be really cool and could really like... brought in my, I just love traveling and I want to travel like everywhere, so if I have the opportunity, I will do it. But yeah, that was the position, I guess.
So why did you make the decision to work here versus?
It was honestly really tough. I talked to my mom for a while about it, because I was like, I have no idea what to do, because they were also a super young demographic office. They had a really good vibe, kind of like a typical Vancouver startup.
Okay.
And even though they were already established, they were definitely like that type of culture, which I appreciated, but Oakland had the same thing. But I was just going to school for interior architecture, and I've always really loved real estate. I've been like, when I was younger, like maybe I'll go into real estate one day. I've always just thrown it out there and just like never really did anything with it.
Right.
And when the opportunity came up, I was like, I was pretty honest with Ashley. I told her that I'm just dipping my toes in. I just came out of school. I have no clue what I want, but if I like it, I'll probably stay.
Right.
That's pretty much verbatim what I said to her. I was like,
honesty
I'll probably
is
stay.
The best policy.
But yeah, from then on, like, it was just kind of a vibe. I think my mom was like, you've always been interested in that side of things, and like, it's a really good industry to be in Vancouver, just because it is competitive. It is so busy that things are always going on, and I think you'll have. She said to me, she's like, I think you'll have more of an opportunity long term than with this marketing company.
Oh, that's good.
Like,
what happened to the marketing company?
I don't know. I haven't really checked up. Maybe I'll Google it
later. Google it later. See like how they're
maybe
doing.
They're still around. I mean, they were established in Canada and the US, so probably pretty good, but...
That's awesome. So you started, obviously, at reception.
Yes.
Yeah.
I started with reception. We kind of have, like, two different positions at reception. It's, like... reception and listings, and then at the time we had reception and a conveyance assistant, so that's what I started with, because we had Tab who was doing listings. So I kind of dove right into conveyancing, which is pretty cool. I think I'm like, just from like my school background and stuff, I'm better with like data entry and kind of like administrative stuff. But like, I've just had so much experience in retail and stuff too that I am pretty personable, I'd say.
Oh yeah.
probably pretty good company.
Keeps good company, that's
yeah.
for sure.
So I think that's probably why Ashley chose me in the end. It was just because I was super capable on like computers, and I had so much experience with school and stuff that I was super capable with numbers and all of that, and I was also friendly, so.
So obviously starting, you know, for us, our hiring practice is kind of interesting. We did a bit of a like case study and a deep dive into like how to attract the best talent. And
practical interviews, I think that's what it is. How come
out too? Like, so practical interview is a big part of it. But you know, attracting good talent is sometimes like what I was always frustrated with is when I was looking for a job, like the job postings were so boring. Like they're like, oh my gosh,
so
like
boring.
What is this? It's just like you send your application and blah blah blah. So we did a job posting that was like weird and unique.
Honestly, it was probably another thing that went into me choosing Oakwood in general, because I felt there was a sense of like fun.
Yeah.
And that people weren't, despite the fact that we are doing things that are super serious and impact everyone's lives on a daily basis, and it's, you know, it's the biggest purchase someone's gonna make.
Yeah.
It's daunting, to be honest. And we have so much responsibility, but the fact that the team at the time and the environment was just so geared towards making it the easiest for everyone, not only yourself, but for the agents, for the clients, like that was a process that I really respected. And I was like, I wanted to be a part of something that was dynamic in that sense.
Yeah.
And where we're not only supporting our agents, but I know I'm directly impacting someone who's buying a home.
Mm-hmm.
And like when my parents bought their home on Vancouver Island, they had a world of issues with the conveyance team that they used and stuff, like not getting the checks. And like, everyone's employed for the same job that I've done. Like, just do the job.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think it's something, you know, that's really exciting. So do you remember how many realtors were at Oakwood?
We had like 54 when I started.
Yeah.
It was the same day that Boy, Rebecca, Stephen Moore,
and
Cecilia all started.
Yeah.
And I think I did my office tour with them too.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. So like, yeah, so that was 3 years ago. So 54 realtors. So, and then you started as obviously the reception slash conveyance. So
yeah,
how long were you
so
there? And
I've been at reception ever since.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I kind of moved towards, Amanda was our lead conveyancer at the time, and she was kind of doing all of it by herself because we didn't have as many agents at the time.
Right.
But when we started to grow, Amanda and I started to kind of split things a little bit more. So I was taking on quite a bit more conveyance. So I was like a conveyancer, but sitting at reception as backup, but actually I just did both.
Yeah.
Because we were a small office at the time. And then from there, when Ashley, our old office manager, left, it kind of rejigged the team a little bit. I do think she was such like a big part of our office.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Our development and even my career path. Like, I think she was so impactful on like my growth too, that I really respect everything I learned from her.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when she left, it really threw everyone kind of on their heads a little bit. I didn't know what to do. I was like, oh my god.
No, it threw me up for a spin too.
I was like, was Amanda expecting to become office manager? I had no clue. It was a bit of a surprise, at least to me. So I had no idea what to expect. But when she left, Oakwood started kind of picking up the ball when it came to like agent count and stuff, and everyone was all of a sudden like, oh, Oakwood's like disturbing the industry, we have to go to Oakwood, which is great.
Right.
But it meant that, you know, we had to fill a lot of voids when Ashley left, because realistically, like, she did so much more than we knew she did until she left, and we're like, oh, who does that? And we're like, oh, I guess Ashley did that.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to figure out who's going to do it now. So that's kind of how I got into agent management. So from then on, I guess it was just you guys who were assigning agents and just giving me paperwork, and then eventually we grew to a point where you guys would interview the agent and give them to me, and I take care of the rest.
Right. So Amber is responsible for, so she's our agent manager, so she's responsible. Why don't you share what you're responsible for?
Yeah. I'm responsible for all the onboarding and kind of like the compliance a little bit when it comes to licensing, so education and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
The board and the council. Just kind of like HR, but like for realtors, not for really staff.
Yeah, and she does an awesome job. So basically, she is kind of like the agent's guide.
Yeah.
Like, so Amber would be the agent's guide to coming to Oakwood.
Yeah,
so
like
she's
a concierge.
Yeah, kind of like, in a simple way. I think it's a
concierge.
What's the, is that's a French word, right?
Yeah, yeah.
What is like the, what is it, like, is it just a
essentially
liaison?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, liaison, is that? Yeah. Well, yeah. But like.
Or like a coordinator, kind of.
Yeah,
like,
well, I think, like, it feels like, I like to think of it more of like a guide.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's more like a host position, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit more. It's funny, I think I've never really worked in a restaurant, but I'd almost compare it to that. Because, like, you are the very first person you're meeting of the company, so you're kind of
right.
Like the face of the company. You have to smile. If you're not right. In a good mood, they know right away. You, like, you are responsible for creating the vibes from the office.
Right.
So
it's a big cultural position.
It is, definitely. Yeah. So it's like exactly like having a front of house at a restaurant. If you
right.
don't have, like, a happy hostess, then, like, you already go in with a negative feeling. Or, like,
right.
Oh, great. We went for dinner here, we could
yeah.
have gone to like
exactly.
somewhere else. So you always want to have like kind of friendly staff that kind of build that culture.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have good staff who are building that, it's really hard to enforce
yeah.
With the people you're bringing on and just make sure that it's, you want it to be infectious.
Right.
Really. So from then on, it's just kind of like hand-holding agents until they're fully set up, because you're moving your entire business over.
Yeah.
It's pretty daunting. You have to think of so many things to switch over.
Right.
You have to notify all your clients. You have to get so many things set up. And agents do have a pretty high overhead too, that if you're
yeah.
switching, it just doubles the cost of your business. And there's a lot of factors that go into it that my job is essentially making it as easy as possible for someone to switch over, and all of those kind of tedious things that, you know, they're not necessarily prepared to think about,
right.
Is where I come in. So
yeah.
I'm there to support that. If they don't know they need new business cards, I'm there to tell them that.
Yeah.
I'm there to facilitate that. So kind of all that extra weight of transferring over goes on to me, so that
yeah.
agents are like, okay, this is a seamless process. All I have to do is sign the forms, and then it's done for me.
Yeah. And so Amber had a huge responsibility of creating a platform for a new, we were big believers in, like, hey, we have a problem, we have to innovate a solution.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a problem with these agents were coming over and feeling a bit lost about what to do, how
yeah.
to go to them, like, what were they supposed to do
yeah.
Once they signed the paperwork to transfer over. And I remember in my own experience, because I've transferred brokerages as
yeah.
a realtor from one office to another office, and I was like, what do I don't know what to do. And you ask the, you know, the conveyancer, like, what
yeah.
this is, and it's just like, it was
she's like,
ask this person, then you ask the managing broker, like, I'm too busy to do yeah. this, and it's just like, what is going on? And so,
sorry to interrupt, when it comes down to it, I think, like, a managing broker's responsibility is to be there for the agents for things that aren't so, like, not superficial, but, like, administrative like that.
Right.
Your managing broker has such a bigger role to protect you and your clients.
Yeah.
You know, to really guide you through transactions
yeah.
stuff, that I don't think they need the responsibility of figuring out business cards.
Right. I think of it in, like, in the sense of a story. So, like, your managing broker is kind of like your, like, knight. Like it's just like, kind of like defending you. He's just like,
yeah.
okay, this is how you do things
yeah.
the right way, as a code,
yeah.
and then, like, agent manager would kind of be like Jiminy Cricket.
Right?
like, I'm going to help you make this transition from
yeah.
puppet to boy, like, excellent for you. And I'm like, you know, and a lot of the times, you know, just make things easier and just and
yeah,
accelerate
exactly.
the process through. So Amber created this amazing platform of, like, transitioning realtors from one agency to Oakwind. And we've only heard complimentary and amazing things about the transition. And
funny that you say that, because just during my growth with Oakwind, I've never really thought of myself as the one who created it.
Yeah, you did create it.
Yeah, I know. When you say that, I was like, whoa, I guess I did.
Yeah, so...
crazy.
So I'm a big... Well, Arlene, myself, and Morgan in the company, we love sharing the same vision. So
yeah.
like, I think Arlene's a smart one. She probably shared the vision of, okay, Amber, a super happy agent that transfers over
yeah.
from one agency to the next to Oakwind. So from one agency to Oakwind, what does that look like? And then you guys probably yeah. like explored that, right?
Well, a little bit. She took me out for lunch. She's like, what do you think about, like, being like your position? We have got so much growth that, like, think we need to do something in order. It also comes down to retention too, right? So
yeah.
If they're having a good experience right from the first time they step through that door and we're here to facilitate them, I mean, obviously we can only just grow and better our practices too. And
right.
I'm not saying that there's not holes, but what we've done is pretty spectacular, I think, just in comparison to the industry and what I've heard.
Oh, absolutely.
That a lot of agents don't necessarily get that support. Yeah. I think that's something that's pretty special about Oakland
general. Yeah, just thinking about like Amber. So Amber, you started obviously with 54 realtors in the company, and now we're at
366.
Yeah. So 366. So you've undergrown 700% growth by the time you're, which is pretty like, you know, I'm gonna give Amber tons of credit for that, because she was an amazing part of that growth and continues to be an amazing part of our growth and our kind of the secret to our success. So, and I've like, it's been so fun. And that's why I think, you know, and the agents love the staff. Like our agents love our staff. Like, I think Paul brought everyone donuts yesterday. And so like, you know, and that's the thing, because I feel like we have the best, like, a little bit of a secret to the success, hopefully, was that we have like the best staff.
I agree.
We have like, I've been to lots of different real estate offices, and obviously we're gonna be biased.
Yeah.
But I think from our managing broker team to our like reception to our agent manager to our accountants and to our conveyancers.
Yeah.
And I think like the staff is so hilarious.
A lot that happens behind closed doors, and it's very easy in the industry and in this type of environment it's very easy to freak out.
Yeah.
And things don't seem to be going your way, or just like everything seems to be an issue for some reason or another. But I think one thing that I can give our team credit for is the ability of like, no one needs to know what's happening, and you know, that's our problem to deal with, and we can get that done on our end, and no one necessarily needs to know that we're freaking out, but we're handling it, and it's just about relying on your team. Like, we have such an amazing team that there's no reason not to utilize everyone's strengths. And one thing I was talking to Jenny about at reception today was the fact that we have this entire team to rely on, so if we're slow, we should be utilizing everyone's potential, and there's no reason. We all have different sectors and focuses now, so we all kind of have our specific roles, but there's no reason for me, for example, if I have nothing to do, that I'm not helping out. Like, there's no reason for me to sit there and just kind of twiddle my thumbs and wait for something to pop up.
Right.
I should be proactive and taking that initiative to take stressors away from other people on the team just to help their day, relieving it from them, and then we're just getting things done faster. We're being way more efficient.
Yeah. I, you know, music to my ears, maybe. But you know, it's such a, as a realtor, as an agent, and most of the people that listen to the pod, I have I don't want to humble brag here, but we actually kind of have like quite a few listeners now. Most of them are agents, like real estate agents, and like the connection with an agent and the staff, like at the office, is just like a very special bond.
It is. Yeah. And you know what? I think something that's changed since we opened our downtown office, like one thing that I think is a struggle, like at least on the back end, is in my role at least, is how do I enforce and continue that culture between offices? That is the biggest thing I think I'm facing right now is, you know, I've created this platform to make sure everyone's happy and set up.
Right.
But I want to, you know, eventually implement something where I'm like making sure those cultures are being implemented as well.
Ooh,
and it's something that I actually found an agent yesterday.
Yeah.
But I kind of told her when I went over our like privacy and like policies and everything that we really want to enforce a supportive environment.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the word I choose is like infectious. I want it to be, you know, you've come here because of these attributes of Oakland, that you have a supportive environment, that you have a healthy, fun, like supportive again environment, where you can work, and it's everyone's livelihoods, and I know real estate can be super cutthroat, but you know, if we have one agent who's ready to pour themselves into a culture and create something so supportive and so community oriented, then it will be infectious. You're just kind of kill them with kindness a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing for us like moving forward is making sure we're carrying that across all offices. And making sure that all agents between HQ, downtown, whatever office, have that same sense of support and community. Mm-hmm. despite the physical separateness.
Yeah. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like family, you know, when you have, that's what I want these to be, kind of like, you know, your cousins, they don't live in your house, but you share that same, like, you share the same, like, the same, like, DNA in a sense, you know, you share the same, like, okay, you know, like, a lot of the same qualities from a communication perspective, from a, you know, you're not in the same house, but then you're still in the same family.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking of it like the new offices. So a part of thing, what's happening at Oakland right now is we're going through like an expansion to different areas and different cities in BC, which we're really excited about.
Crazy.
Yeah, and so, which is weird to think. You know, when Amber started, we had one office.
And 50 agents.
And now,
what?
Yeah, so then she's obviously been a big part of the team that has delivered us to where we are now. But I think, you know, I think it's just the start, though. Like,
I know.
And it's, which is really exciting, because we've only been, you know, in working at, you know, for about 5 years now, so a little over 5 years, 6 years now, 2013. So wait, July 2013, that's when Ross started.
But that was Opus, right?
It was Opus, yeah. But Oakland has actually only been since 2015.
Yeah.
Oakland is actually only,
wasn't it September of 2015?
Yeah, September 2015. Yeah, September, that's when we moved into the Oak Street office. So yeah, it is true. Yeah, it's only actually been, then it's only been 4 years at Oakland. So
and we have like four offices.
I know,
it's crazy growth.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, and we're really happy, obviously, with that. However, you know, that comes with some challenges, and the fun thing is that you probably, so there's there's systems, and there's like an element of regimented aspects, but there's also an amount of creativity that's important.
Oh, for sure. And
yeah.
I think like just human time and effort like goes so much further. Like there's sure a lot of things you do, like a lot of things that you do on the back end for processing and stuff, but it doesn't nearly match like that personal touch.
Yeah.
Or if you're taking that time to spend an hour with somebody, like sure I've signed a couple hundred agents by now, but that's an hour when I sign each of them, and then maybe a couple hours here, maybe I'm showing them how to do something, so another hour there. Like it's a lot of manpower, a lot of just personal time.
Yeah.
Which I think is like the biggest connection you can build with somebody is just spending that one-on-one time where you're just there to just simply help them.
Right.
You're just support. And I think that gives them so much more confidence and so much, well, they're just going to rely on you more.
Right. And it's really funny because like, I think of like, you know, there's different analogies you can use. But I think of like, I've read a lot of biographies for athletes or even like top CEOs and stuff like that too. And like whenever they give thanks, like they give thanks, like an athlete, let's say like Michael Jordan or something like that. He'll give thanks to his like physiotherapist or a sports psychologist or his like these people that are like, who is that? And like, you know, I think of the agents as really the stars, and we're just like they're, you know, so, you know, they're kind of, they, a lot of them wouldn't get there without our, like a lot of them wouldn't get there without the like friendly banter or the support or the friendships that they build in their, you know, in their arenas or in their teams or in their companies and all this stuff. So I think it's a really big important part. And I think like I like to shine light on the you know, the whole like the whole organization, not just like, you know what I mean? So so I think that's why it was being really cool, you know, talking to Amber about, you know, her journey at Oakland. And what are you excited about the most?
Excited about?
Yeah.
Honestly, I was actually thinking about this earlier because James had asked me a similar question. With like my position specifically, I've actually never, as I just mentioned, like I've never thought about it as I was the one who created it, but in reality, no one else did it. So I guess
you're the
it's
one
true.
That created it. Yes, you are the one.
But when I met with Arlene and she told me about the opportunity and she said, like, you know, we want to play to your strengths and just support you moving forward. And I think, like, this is going to be best suited to you. Mm-hmm. Have you ever watched, like, that Mary Kondo show where she's
tidying up.
Spark
of course.
Joy?
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing, you know, I did really enjoy conveyance, but I prefer more of a dynamic environment where I'm talking to people and I'm servicing people. Like, that's what sparks joy for me. So with the agent management side, like, that's solely my responsibility, and because I have so much passion for it and I just enjoy it, like simply mm-hmm. just really like doing it, it makes my career so much easier to like just pour myself into, kind of.
Right.
That, you know, if I'm home on a Saturday, like I'm not just me playing video games. I'm like, whoa, yeah. what can I do? Like, oh, I just thought of this really great idea that
right.
I can start doing like tomorrow or
yeah.
something like that. But what's nice is that I have that trust and that freedom mm-hmm. to be able to kind of manipulate this role mm-hmm. into something that I think might better serve Oakland
right.
or myself, like growing into this and how we can sustain ourselves moving forward as we grow as more agents.
Mm-hmm.
I think the fact that I have that freedom and that trust is huge.
Yeah.
And you guys have just given it to me and been like,
right.
make it what you will.
I think it's, one, for us, it's the individual themselves, you know, when they're, like, when if you guys are, I hope you all have the opportunity. If you're not, I'm sure a lot of you have had the opportunity, but some of you will have the opportunity to meet with Amber and talk about their business and, you know, the second you meet her, she, like, sparks, like a lot of trust and sincerity.
Aww.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And, you know, really embodies, you know, our core value system at the company, putting people first, mm-hmm. providing innovative services,
yeah.
being passionate, being a real estate nerd,
yeah.
building the community, leading by example. So she really leads the, she also leads as an example for our reception staff. So, you know, to make sure that everyone is upheld to a certain great golden standard, you know, kind of cheesy to say, golden O, golden standard. But, you know, I think that that was a big part of our decision to, you know, to really, and we want, like as a team, as a company, we want to walk together, you
yeah.
know, we want, and I hated being a staff for someone before and them kind of overhawking
yeah.
me and like, hey, you're doing that wrong, you're doing that
yeah.
wrong. And so
honestly, so when I started, I was obviously very young. I think
right.
I just barely turned 20.
Right.
Yep. Like I just had my 20th birthday. And
right.
I remember Ashley has kind of instilled a lot of that like culture and community with me like throughout my career. And I can't thank her enough for it. But
mm.
also at the same time, like I was young and maybe a little bit like hot-headed, but I did butt heads with her every once in a while.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because I didn't respond to her management style, but
right.
now that I am where I am today, I understand exactly why
yeah.
she approached things in that manner. Yeah, she was tough and she kind of like managed me a little bit in that sense.
Right.
Did this wrong, you have to go back and fix all of it. It sucked and I hated it and I was complaining about it at the
mm-hmm.
time, but I never made the mistake again. I learned from it and I totally understand kind of
yeah.
sometimes you like I don't want to be hard, but at the same time you have to be a little bit tough, otherwise you don't learn and you don't kind of understand where other people are coming from
yeah.
and how you impact someone else's job. So
right.
between HQ and downtown, if I do one thing downtown, it might directly impact someone at HQ and you just have to be very cognizant of that. Which I think our team's pretty good at doing.
Right.
I mean, there's, again, we can only grow and move forward and progress, but I think something our team's pretty good at is taking that initiative.
Yeah, and you know what, I'm really glad that you mentioned that because for a couple things, like, I like to use different analogies. Just like, we can use that family analogy too. Like, you know, when I was young, I don't know why are you like telling me not to eat chocolate every day?
Yeah.
And like, you know, I should eat chocolate as much as I
yeah.
want, right?
Yeah.
But then you're like, and then you like understand,
yeah.
okay, well, that's not good for you. And,
yeah.
you know, yada, yada, yada.
I think it wasn't until I started being more involved in kind of like training reception and kind
mm-hmm.
of getting our team set up in terms of like
right.
management on the back end that I realized why Ashley did everything the way she did. And
yeah.
I fully, I didn't agree with it at the time.
Right.
There was quite a few times where I was like, oh, gosh. But, yeah, I completely understand it now. And every once in a while, like, even with staff, I don't want to be hard, but sometimes I have to just lay it down pretty bluntly.
Yeah.
I don't want to be rude or anything.
Right.
But sometimes I have to be pretty honest and say,
mm-hmm.
you know, this is something that we've always done with Oakland, and it's something that, like, I hold really dear that I think, like, no matter what, we should be doing this or whatever.
Right.
It could be anything really.
Yeah.
Just that initiative I think is huge, and having team players and staff who are on the same side and kind of agree that everyone should be taking initiative and doing their part and supporting each other is the biggest thing. If there's one person on the team who doesn't want to do that, it impacts absolutely everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. That's for sure. If they're not, tugging on the rope as well. So Amber, it's been wild because it's been almost an hour that we've been on the potting. Now I wanted to ask you a question because Amber has met every single realtor at Oakland and has met a lot of realtors at reception and at kind of coming in to pick up keys and at events and all these different things. Now, from your perspective, from a objective perspective, what makes a fantastic realtor?
A fantastic realtor?
What makes a let me condition. What makes a super successful realtor?
Well, I can answer both. I think from watching it is dedication. If you're not passionate and fully dedicated, it's really bad to say it, but I don't think you'll make it. Like if you don't have that fire, like you're not gonna last. Like it's really unfortunate, but we have agents who come in who are brand new, who are super ready to get things started, but they're not really prepared for the trials that they're going to face. They're not, monetarily prepared either. They can't support themselves during their first year. But one thing I see is that you can never control the market. You have no idea what's going to happen. You have no idea what laws are going to be introduced or what new norms are going to be introduced that really impact someone's career. That you going into real estate, you really have to be prepared for that. And I think you really can't give up in your first year. You have to be in real estate for at least 3 years before you decide if you want to do it or not. If you don't make it past 3, I don't think you're going to be a realtor.
Right.
You have to, that first year is so tough that you can't base your whole career and get this idea that your career is going to be exactly the same.
There's
so much growth that happens within your first year.
You
have no experience in your first year. You have to give it that time and really, if you're dedicated, you have to pour yourself into it for a couple of years before you're going to start seeing that reward or that success.
Wow.
You really have to build your business.
Dedication?
Dedication, passion, but I also think patience is the biggest thing. Because you're helping somebody, whether or not they're an investor and they've done it time and time again, a transaction's different every single time.
Right.
On the conveyancing end, there's never a deal that's the same. Mm-hmm. Which is why you always have to spend at least 30 minutes combing through all the documents.
Right.
Everything is always different.
Yeah.
It's not standard at all. Mm-hmm. So many variations, but I think it's a first-time homebuyer or something, you really have to have that patience with your client because they don't know what they're doing either. They don't know what conveyance is. They don't know what a future sheet is either.
Right.
Just like I did when I first started. They've got no clue that if you have that patience and you're willing to kind of hold their hand through that whole process and really explain things, I think you're going to have, one, a better connection. But I think long-term, they're going to kind of trust you a bit more and rely on you a bit more, that if they want to do another purchase in the future, they're like, okay, this person's super honest with me. They were super educational and really supportive, that I'm going to use them again.
I think that is an awesome way. Is there anything else you want to add, Amber?
Transparency.
Yeah.
Don't hide stuff.
Right, for sure. Being truthful is huge. I think on that note, I would love to be able, obviously, thank you so much for being a part of the pod. This time just flew right by I'm getting very uncomfortable on the floor, so that's a part of it as well. So until next time, thank you so much, Amber, for being part of the podcast. And until next time, please do us a favor as well. If you don't mind, please review, and subscribe to the podcast. We're really excited. Soon we'll have, hopefully the sound quality here is good, but I'm thinking about rejigging the podcast in a little bit of a way. I'm actually thinking about doing it out of my house. So and with video and stuff like that versus doing it in the office. So I was thinking about doing it in my house, and then that way I can wear pajamas and I can force people to watch me in my pajamas. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think being at home would stop him.
No, not at all. And on that note, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Until next time, thank you for the listening.
Yeah.